Welcome back to the Clean Sailors podcast. As always, I'm your host, Holly, founder of Clean Sailors. Let's get stuck in. This is a good one. Through Clean Sailors and our now global resale platform, we've talked a lot about end-of-life sales and sailcloth offcuts, but there are so many other sources of textile waste and textile opportunity within our sailing and wider marine industries. Today, we'll be talking about life rafts and decommissioned Royal Navy life rafts being kept out of landfill. I'm joined by Pablo Madrid, professional sailmaker and professional upcycler, and Bob Field, former warrant officer from the Royal Navy and now head of supporter services and operations at the Royal Navy and Royal Marines charity. Pablo, Bob, thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, thank you.
So listen, Bob, I'd love to hear a bit about your experience. Obviously, you are former Royal Navy and obviously continuing in your capacity within the Marines, Navy and Marines charity. What does that look like and where are you based?
So I'm based on HMS Excellent in Portsmouth. I've been there now 9 years for the logistics team. I started volunteering and that just progressed into a relationship. They offered me a job, so I left the Navy and went straight to them. So it's been a lovely, clean transition for me in that respect. I just had to walk across a field to start my new job, but it was lovely. Yeah, and it's been great. And it's the charity have been really, really supportive of this project that we embarked on, and it's all going really well.
I'm pleased to hear it, and I can't wait for us to dig into just what this project is about. But in the meantime, Pablo, obviously a partner of our Resale by Clean Sailors project, the esteemed Pablo Madrid, but tell us a bit about your experience as both a sailmaker and an upcycler.
Yeah, so I've been a sailmaker for 10 years now. I'm a passionate windsurfer and come from a family of windsurfers and just always wanted to work in the industry. So sailmaking came, an opportunity came along and became a sailmaker. I worked for the big brand here in the South Coast. And, you always kind of end up making your own little tool bags and things like that. And that kind of led into me making mostly recycling bags now. I started with sailcloth, still do a lot of sailcloth recycling. And this project came to me a couple of years ago and never looked back since. It's been a great project and very fun.
So tell us about this collaboration, right? So we're talking life rafts and decommissioned Royal Navy life rafts at that. How did you get together? What was the spec?
So the story was quite a long drawn out. Well, I won't tell it as a long drawn out one, but it is. So when I left the Navy and I started with a charity, I'd seen something similar happening in other charities and organisations. And obviously from my experience, I know that every ship has life rafts on them. And it made me start thinking what happens to them once they reach a particular time. I reached out to my old colleagues. We managed to get one. I contacted Portsmouth University, who had some of their design team, their fashion design people play with the materials, and they made some stuff. Then we moved on to a more professional company to see if they would like to do it. Yeah. Kind of stalled. COVID had it played its part, but also the as you can imagine, we were working with a government department and government departments like their red tape. So it was taking some time. And I think my colleague and I, we'd been working on this and trying to get it off the ground for 4 years when I met these guys. And everything just seemed to come together really. And it's been, like I said before, it's been really good.
On that note, Bob, talking about life rafts, right? What is the scale of the opportunity within the Navy in particular, bearing in mind that the Navy is mostly waterborne and in need of life rafts on said vessels?
Yeah, so every ship, boat, submarine, aircraft has some form of life raft on them, whether that's the 25-man ones, which is what we've predominantly been working, down to the one-man ones that they use on helicopters, jets, and submarines. They all have single-man ones. So it's huge. They always have to have more than what they actually require. So for instance, if it's a 200-ship company, they'll have an extra 20% space because, we need to save everybody, as many as they can, of course. But there are hundreds and hundreds of life rafts and different inflatables. There's lots of different versions throughout the Navy, and it's then the Fleet Air Arm, the Royal Marines, the Submarine Service. Yeah, it's quite huge. We've currently got a stack of about 30 waiting for Pablo and I to get our scissors out and start pulling them apart again. And it's just continuing. It's just a continual cycle. If they fail part of it, they go in for a refurb and a test every few years. If they fail that, we get our hands on them. It's quite a big operation.
And it
keeps us busy.
They're still in the Portsmouth dockyard. It's all locally because I'm based in Portsmouth. They're based in Portsmouth and they're still in the dockyard. So there's no traveling involved. So that's something else to, it's another little win in terms of sustainability.
That's great. Given that there are, as we know, with a lot of things marine, there are no formal recycling facilities already for sails, for sheets and lines, obviously for life rafts. Presumably all of this from the Royal Navy would have just been waste.
Yeah, it's saving rubber going into the ground and it's saving money for the MOD effectively, I guess.
But it also raises that much bigger question, not even a question, it's a fact, is that obviously the Royal Navy is almost a proxy for a tiny segment of the global industry of waterborne vessels. And as you mentioned, also helicopters, fighter jets, aeroplanes, the lot that have any kind of inflatable personal or collective life-saving equipment, right? We kind of estimates show there are roughly around 33 plus million boats on the planet alone. And legally, most of those boats also have to have life-saving equipment on board, particularly if they're coded or otherwise. So this is an absolutely colossal amount of incredibly hardy material, textiles and fabrics, which ultimately you're proving can have another life, albeit in a very different guise.
Absolutely, yeah. It's absolutely massive. And we've actually had to turn down other organisations to see if we can work with their materials. The Home Office, for instance, have been in touch because obviously when the boats come across from France, the Home Office have got to do something with that rubber and they're struggling with that. Sadly, we couldn't do it, but hopefully somebody somewhere will one day be able to utilise that stuff as well, because it's everywhere. Like you say, if there's water, there's something that will float on it that reaches an end life and needs to be upcycled or dealt with in some way.
And then when this project came to me, I did a little bit of research and I didn't see anyone else doing anything at scale with life raft. And you get little company, they have one or two bags, but nothing a full-on collection. So we had to really start from scratch in terms of design and see what was possible with it. But it's completely been forgotten in terms of the recycling, because there's a lot of sailmakers and company that do recycling with sails. There's a lot of product out there, probably not enough, but you know, there's still a lot of stuff that's been done, but with life raft, nothing.
I can imagine, Pablo. And on that note then, so what are you doing? What is your collaboration? How are you using these old Royal Navy life rafts?
So I came up with a collection. So we got the backpack, the holdalls, Todd, but we're also going into book covers. What else have we done?
Passport
holders. We're trying to find new ways of recycling this stuff. And it's it's black and orange. Mostly the colors are black and orange, so it's very bright. And kind of urban as well. I think orange and black goes really well together. So I think the end product comes out really well. It's a fun thing to create with. And we've done some director chairs, done some bin bags as well.
Oh, yeah.
We've done some of banners with writing on it, just to kind of just advertise it. Any idea that come to mind, we're trying to see if we can do it. There's a really good scheme that Bob has created to put the life raft apart, which was a big challenge for me before I can get anything flat on a bench and actually pull it back together. Deconstructing the life raft was a big challenge.
As you probably imagine, a 25-man life raft is quite big, and they are difficult to pull apart. So what we do now is we work with our corporate supporters of charity who want to have lots of volunteer days, and we utilize their time. We take them into Portsmouth Dockyard. We lay out seven or eight in a row in a big warehouse, and we set them to work. Pablo in the middle, supervising them and keep them safe with the scissors in their hands. And yeah, we come up with five or six sort of builder's bags full of usable material that we take away, and Pablo gets on his sewing machine and we'll get started.
And ultimately, this material, it's not just for me. It could be for anyone who's interested to start a new scheme. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot. And the life raft are very intricate design, so there's a way you need to put them apart, which I kind of learn along a little bit. It's important, I think, so they know what to do with it. And but yeah, there's plenty for anyone who wants to have a go at it. Yeah, no problem.
I think that's a good point, actually, Pablo's made. I have access to this, and it is the Navy giving it to Royal Navy and Royal Navy Charity to use for these projects. But we're happy to share the materials. There is so much to go around. You know, so if there was anybody out there who was interested in getting involved, I'm sure we could come up with some sort of agreement whereby we can supply, because, like I said, there's a mountain of 30 of them in big stacks in the warehouse that we need to get, for all the right reasons, we need to get them pulled apart and not sent in a skip to the landfill.
Sure, a huge opportunity. And I think what's the most, one of the most exciting elements of it from my perspective is the fact that, you know, there's an argument to say, well, do we need any more bags? Do we need any more passport holders? Actually, if we replaced all of the virgin stuff that we were making with this really incredible, hard-wearing, second life material, I mean, it just is so obvious, isn't it, that this stuff doesn't need to be waste the first time round just because it's lost its integrity as a serviceable life raft. It's still so good for so long, for so many other things. It really is. It's just that sort of stark reminder that we've really got to be changing the way that we're thinking about what we produce and what we make it from. Because this stuff is going to be stronger than you would ever need of a passport holder that's going to last for. Can you see my point? I'd need a passport holder that you just need once that was going to last forever, for your lifetime at least. How many passport holders should you get through in a lifetime? Arguably not many. But I think that's a really important call out, right? Because I think what's another incredibly exciting element of this collaboration is showing what's possible. I mean, Pablo, you've got an exceptional amount of experience using sails. You're a professional sailmaker and also now a professionally skilled sail upcycler. What did you have to change around using this new life raft material? Because presumably it is a lot tougher. The composition is different. I wouldn't say the weave, but obviously the way that it's put together as a material is very different to sail cloth as a textile. What did you have to tweak in your kind of own production process to start using life rafts?
Well, I wish I could come up with something, but actually it was pretty straightforward. The material is made out of PVC and nylon-based sort of fabric. So it's actually similar to what we will come across in the industry with cover making, all the stuff we're doing for PVC is a standard material we use for cover making a lot. So it wasn't anything new really to work with. I think the big challenge again was to deconstruct the life raft. When Bob dropped the first life raft, I was a bit like, where do I start? And I kind of, every single life raft that I sort of deconstructed, I kind of learned how to optimize my time to get it in pieces that was manageable for me to work with. Other than that, it was, the materials are very strong. It's probably quite easy. It's a little bit easier to work than sailcloth. Sailcloth can be very stiff, very hard to kind of turn into a three-dimensional shape. And this is actually a little bit softer. Although it's very strong, it's a little bit more manageable. And it wants to kind of form more easily than actual sail. So if anything, it's probably a bit easier.
That's fascinating. I was expecting you almost to say the opposite, which is why I asked the question. So if anyone's already working with sail material, then this should be a walk in the park effect.
Yeah. I think sail is probably the most challenging because it's just a very stiff, rigid piece of material that wants to catch the wind and keep the shape as long as it can. So it's made to stay that out for as long as it can, especially if you start working with racing sails that just don't want to do anything else other than just be flat. So when you want to turn this into a three-dimensional box or bag or with pockets and stuff like that, it's a lot more harder than PVC. I think if any sailmaker will listen to this, will agree with me. PVC is a lot more nicer to bend and to sew. Yeah.
And how is your demand? Obviously, we know each other through the use of sails, just de facto from the sailing environment. But how have your requests for your services and your craft changed over the couple of years, even recently, in terms of people getting an appreciation and an understanding for different materials having another life?
I think it's huge, especially with organizations like the Royal Navy, but also I work with Clipper Racing. They were looking to recycle their sails. So instead of working with an individual who wants to buy a bag, I'm actually working with organizations who wants to offer to their customers, to their audience, something out of the material, the sails that they've been using. I also work with Ineos and Ocean Republic. We create a line of bag from the American Cup race, and that was very, very successful, and it's still ongoing. So I think it's, I think if there's any sailmaker that wants to go into this business along with making sails and covers, I think it's to actually talk to organizations that have material that they don't know what to do with and try to create a story together. And then they can reach an audience through them, as opposed to individual like me trying to go on Instagram and trying to find the individual that want to buy a bag. It's easier to go directly with big company like the Royal Navy, Royal Marine Charity, and say, okay, well, let's talk to your audience. They want something. They want to help out. Let's go and do something together.
And Bob, how have you seen this collaboration go down within the Navy itself? I mean, obviously appreciating that finding a use case for these old life rafts is a huge win for both sides, right? But what's the sort of general sentiment? Is it exciting? Is it stoking a different kind of mentality around second life and materials?
I think it has, yeah. I mean, the sales speak for themselves. They've been really popular and a lot of them have been within the service. But I think what's something that's really pleasing for me that's come out of this has been they had no organization with the Navy that looked at climate change or sustainability. But on the back of this project and what they've seen us do, they've now created a climate change and sustainability team within the Royal Navy who are now looking at all the other things that, because you can imagine it's a big operation and there's a lot of stuff that they have that potentially could be reused in some way. So that's been a really pleasing aspect of the project. And the chap that I, as I alluded to before, my colleague that I first contacted about the availability of these rafts, he's now leading that team, and they're putting him through Southampton University. So he's getting a degree out of it, and it's obviously a future career he can have. It's all positives. They've really clutched into the idea now that they've got to do something, and we've all got to do something, and they're playing their part now.
That's awesome. That's so, so cool to hear. I mean, in some ways, the irony is that the Royal Navy, like any national force, let's say, this is also like a global industry in itself. And I say industry in sort of inverted commas because I appreciate they're national, but it's a massive opportunity. The Navy's also use the water and they're also seafarers. So there's some kind of really poignant element too around actually starting to have greater consideration for that environment that de facto they have to use. Appreciate it's very different to me heading out on my boat or Pablo out on his doing his windsurfing, but there is something incredibly poignant and very powerful in seafarers at that kind of level being able to look at the environment that they're using quite differently. And certainly these kind of, you know, inflatables, as we talked about, you can imagine life jackets is another real opportunity. As well as textiles, also quite fiddly, I know, to pull apart and smaller bits of fabric. But the opportunities, dare I say, are somewhat endless.
Life wraps are another. There's a couple of items that I have my hands on, actually, that I've not really spoke to Pablo about. And but life jackets is one of them, because they have to turn those over quite often. When the material's slightly different. What Pablo can come up with would be interesting. But also, I've got a growing pile of fire hoses in my store as well, which I know there's a fashion brand, Elvis and Cressy, that do that with London Fire Brigade. The Royal Navy use exactly the same hoses, because, of course, there's no fire brigade going to come out to you at sea. They have to do this sort of stuff themselves. And they turn over. So, I've got a pile of that. I've been reticent to approach Pablo and see if his needle will go through any of that stuff.
We're watching Pablo turn slowly white.
But if you could use it in some way, that would be amazing. Yeah, there's a lot of that. And there's other materials. There's brass as well that we do for the brass.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic. But I think, again, there is no shortage of material already out there for all of us, whatever kind of our passion project or our business. There's enough already that we can be making a lot of secondary market materials out of this stuff. And it's incredibly strong. I mean, as we said, sails are very strong, right? Built to withstand some of the toughest extremes on the planet. As you said, Pablo, they're not really made to bend. They just need to catch the wind to a degree and flex somewhat. But, you know, things like fire hoses and life rafts just have to be uncompromisable in their integrity as materials. So it's a wonderful opportunity. It makes great sense to reuse them.
Yeah. I think if I can just say, it's interesting to the recycling. It's great. But I think for me, it's also to propose a really nice product and that compete with anything else out there. So the backpack, for example, it's the design, if it was made out of anything, it will still be a nice backpack to use. And I think I see a lot of people with recycling that just say, well, it's recycling. Here's a bag. It's very simple, very kind of basic. But I think it's important to propose something that's actually great value for money and perform really well. And it's going to last forever, literally.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I think that's why this is why sailing and marine kit for me is the most exciting, because it's already so hard wearing. The materials, the textiles are built to be incredibly strong and incredibly resilient, life-saving. Propulsion, we're talking about, you know, carrying vessels of various sizes across open water, life rafts, protecting people in some incredible conditions. God forbid any of us ever be there. But this is the kind of kit that you would want your backpacks, your holdalls, you know, most things made out of, because it is already so strong. So I hear you, Pablo, you could, you know, take a lot of different fabrics and textiles and reuse them. But something about the sailing and the marine industry as a whole is so well placed to be providing that for second life.
Yeah. And people like it. People want to be part of it. People actually buy, I don't know how many bags have we sold since?
Hundreds, yeah. We take them to industry events, military industry events, and people fall over themselves. We sell out every time. You know, it's, they're cool when people see them.
And touch it, yeah.
They touch it, yeah. So I could do with Pablo creating another Pablo, really, and we could get the production line really pumping. But yeah, it's been really good. It's really popular. We relaunched on our website 2 or 3 weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
And again, sales have taken off again like they did last year's.
And Bob, it's worth pointing out where the proceeds of this particular range are going to, right? So whilst the life rafts are decommissioned Royal Navy life rafts, this project is with the charity.
Yeah, so 100% of the proceeds from every sale go back into the charities. We're helping the environment, we're keeping stuff out of landfill, we're saving taxpayers money. But also, the money is going back into helping our beneficiaries, which, you know, is all sailors, marines, families for life. So it's just tick, tick, tick for me. It ticks all the good boxes.
It's really cool. Where can everyone buy the products if they can't see you at an industry show? Where can people get hold of them?
So the Royal Navy and Royal Marines Charity website, which is rnrmc.org.uk, and there's a shop on there, and the full range is what we have in stock is available.
I was hoping you'd be a bit more marine and do it phonetically for me, Bob.
Your November Romeo Mike Charlie.
.co.uk. Thank you kindly. Pablo, what's your takeaway message for either individuals or the industry more broadly? What is this collaboration stoking? What do you want to see more of?
Well, what I want to see more is people working in industry, looking into sailmaking as a career, because it's very fun. You get to make stuff, and you also can lead to something completely different, like recycling life raft into bags, and you can make a living and doing really fun work. So I think there's a little bit of a stigma with sewing, and I have been told that it was a woman's job or you know, and whatever it is. If it is, what's the problem with it? But I think there's a bit of a stigma with that. And I think if anything, I would want to, if there's anyone passionate about sailing, to look into that industry and to work, and then maybe they will come across recycling sails and making their own tool bags and stuff like that. And so yeah, that's my takeaway. I think if anything, more people coming into industry, we need more people, we need more sailmakers. A lot of the big brands are looking for a new generation to come in and take over and here in the South Coast, there's a big legacy of sailmakers working around. So that's my takeaway. And yeah, buy the bags, please. And yeah, and share, and yeah, that's it, really. Sorry.
Pablo, I just want to pause on a point there. The first is, interesting, I hadn't thought about the stigma around potentially sewing and creation, right? And forgive my naivety on that point, because I also appreciate elements of, say, fashion and fashion design have been so male-dominated for centuries, right? So the element of creating and sewing is actually not particularly gender specific in other industries. So in some ways, I'm sorry to hear that, but it's also great that your case in point, as many other sailmakers case in point, that actually the creation within the marine industry itself is just so cool. What you're able to do with it more traditionally for sailmaking, but also the opportunities that it gives you in terms of utilizing materials for purposes, whatever those materials are and whatever the purposes are, as you're proving with life rafts now and sort of bags, etc. And the second point is, I think a really potent one, Pablo, and that's getting into sailmaking. Now, this isn't something that anyone can go to university and get a degree in. So if I was a teenager, for example, I'm thinking about careers in the marine industry, how does one get into sailmaking?
I became a sailmaker. I met Anthony Bond, who runs a little sail loft in South Sea Isny down the beach, and he's a fellow windsurfer. And that's how we met. And when he mentioned that he was a sailmaker, I was just like, okay, yes, I want to do this. So I came a couple of days later. I managed to convince him to let me hang out and learn how to be a sailmaker. And we became friends, and he was my best man at my wedding. So I think if my recommendation would be to just lock on the door of a sailmaker and say, can I come and work? You're not going to be, you're going to start at the bottom. That's also financially a little bit, but I promise you, you will go up very quickly. You will be giving responsibility very quickly. I think sailmakers have the opportunity to work abroad as well. You can work for Dorsail in New Zealand. They got a scheme over there where they can take people for a year. You can go to Australia. You can work for a racing team and be the chap that repair the sail overnight before the race the next day. So there's really loads of opportunity, and you can create your own business like I did, and grab a couple of sewing machines and start doing repairs and recycling. And yeah, so I think my advice is just lock on doors and say, I want to do this. Can I come and be a sailmaker? And as I promise you, they will take you on. They actually, within the industry, we ask each other, do you know anyone who can come and work for me and stuff like that? So they will train you and give you the skills.
I think in the second life, I'd like to be a sailmaker. I think they're the most, no, seriously, right? I think they're honestly some of the most romantic things, sails. I mean, they're just obviously, you know, thousands of years old, the premise of, you know, harnessing the wind using sort of fabrics and materials and just how the technology has changed. The only thing is I'm not sure I'm patient enough, but maybe in my next life, I will have learnt that. But Bob, what from your perspective of the charity and the Royal Navy, what's your message to the industry more broadly? How should we be thinking about fabrics and textiles and materials at end of life? What do you want to see?
I think I'd like people to not attempt something because they just perceive it to be too difficult, because this was, like I said at the start, this took me 4 years before I met Orson Chance and Pablo and we actually got this off on the ground. And there was lots of hurdles to jump through. If you've got the idea and you can do some good with that idea, then persevere, I think, is one of the things that I've really learned from this project. We didn't give up. And I keep thinking we're just doing the right thing. We're saving materials that will take thousands of years to decompose or whatever from going into the ground. And I just like people to think more when they're using things or they're about to chuck something away. Consider that actually, could this go elsewhere or be used for something? And spark an idea. And we're sat here.
Yeah, and our price are actually quite. We try to keep the price to a level when it's actually affordable for anyone. So if anyone watching and needs a bag, consider to buy a life raft collections, because they're not that expensive and they're going to last forever and you do a good thing.
But I think this is the point. It's a wonderful parting note, Pablo. But I think it's the point also around you would probably spend more on a mainstream bag from a mainstream brand, in my experience, that lasts less long than, as we said, these materials that are made expressly, specifically to be some of the strongest on the planet. So it's a value-based investment, in my view. I think your point about perseverance and sort of resilience is an interesting one, because particularly when you're breaking new ground and you're pulling together a collaboration or a use case that hasn't been done before, it will be difficult because people aren't used to the idea. The infrastructure's not there. The way of thinking isn't there. And you will need to persevere for a little while. And then there will be a pop in time when it falls into place and everything comes together and people just start to get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's been one of the pleasing aspects. I mean, we're seeing how what we're doing with saving items going into landfill, the Navy have changed their attitude. The people we're talking to are changing their attitude, you know, and they're using this stuff. So it's just from having that initial acorn of an idea, I guess, it's just the benefits are, and it's like a spider's web, isn't it? It's just going to keep going out now. If the Navy come up with another idea for another item or whatever somebody else does, watching this perhaps, it's that we're all doing better and things. I think it's just the right thing, as I keep saying. I think it's just really important.
Well said. Pablo Madrid, professional sailmaker and now professional upcycler, and Bob V. Field, Head of Supporter Services and Operations at the Royal Navy and Royal Marines Charity. Thank you so much for your time on this project, using these decommissioned naval life rafts for a second life. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly.
Thank you very much.
I noticed we're all in navy blue, which is kind of well done as well, hey?
Absolutely.
For more about Clean Sailors and our projects, just head to cleansailors.com. Thanks for listening, and see you for the next episode.